music, news, and so much more. This is Radio Bucky.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Story Logan Express train. And today we're going to be doing another book review and a set of them. And our first book is Beauty and the Beast, and I'm going to do a wee bit from the blurb and a wee bit from the book. So here we go. Here's the blurb. Beauty and the Beast. Join Belle as she bravely agrees to become the prisoner of a fearsome beast in exchange for her father's freedom. How will Belle cope with life in the enchanted castle, and is there more to the beast than meets the eye? And here's the first little bit of the book. Once upon a time, a selfish young prince refused to give an old beggar woman shelter in his castle. But the old woman was really an enchantress in disguise. She turned the prince into a terrifying beast and cast a spell on everybody else in the castle. Then, giving the beast a magic rose, she said, "This will bloom until your 21st year. If you learn to love another and earn that person's love in return, before this last petal falls, the spell will be broken. If not, you will remain a beast forever." In a village near the castle, an ichor inventor named Mercy lived with his beautiful daughter Belle. One of the young men in the village, Gaston, had decided that he would marry Belle. After all, he told his friend Lufo, "She's the best looking girl in town, and I deserve the best." But Belle refused him. She could never marry someone as ignorant and contradictory as Gaston. So guys, that was our first book, Beauty and the Beast. Our second book is one of my ultimate favourites. But before we do that, I would say the author, but it doesn't say here on the Beauty and the Beast book, the author. But it is $2.99, and it's from the Disney Princess Collection. You can get Aladdin, Bambi, Cinderella, The Incredibles, The Jungle Book, The Lion King, The Little Mermaid, Monsters, Inc., Peter Pan, Sleeping Beauty, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So, yeah. Our next book is by Jill Murray, The Worst Witch Strikes Again. And I'll read the blurb first. "I wonder," said Miss Crackle, "if there is any hope for you in this academy, Mildred. Summer term at Miss Crackle's Academy for Witches has just begun and disaster prone. Mildred Hubble is in deep trouble again, all because of the new girl, Edna Nightstay, who isn't nearly as plaited as she looks." The first bit of this book, here we go. Summer had arrived at Miss Crackle's Academy for Witches. Not that it made much difference in the grim-looking school, which was preceded on a mountain and swirling mist and pine trees. On the first morning of the term, the members of Form 1 sat in class looking a dismal sight in their new summer uniform, which was more dreamy than the winter one. It consisted of a black and grey checkered short-sleeved dress, bright ended a little by the sash around the waist, and grey ankle socks with black lace-up shoes. Everybody's knees were startlingly white after spending the winter squatting in inchy black wool stockings. Despite the picture of gloom, the room buzzed with laughter, voices, and the pupils all surrounding very excited to be back, except for Mildred. Worried would be a better word to describe how Mildred felt as she sat on her desk listening to Mud's tales of what had happened during the holidays. In fact, she wasn't really listening to Mud at all, because she was busy imagining all the dreadful things that were just bound to happen during the coming term. Why, It hasn't even started yet. There were weeks and weeks to get through after the appalling record she'd had at the end of the last term. She had promised everyone at home that she would, that she really would try this term. I have to say, guys, poor Mildred. I mean, Miss Crackle sounds like a wee bit of a really bad teacher, but it's not my concern, it's Mildred's. There's other books by also Jill Murray. A Bad Spell and For the Worst Witch, The Worst Witch at All at Sea, The Worst Witch Saves the Day, The Worst Witch to the Rescue. And they're all at puffinbooks.com, and this came in from a Daily Record magazine I got when I was really little. They don't do those anymore. They don't put books in Daily Records, but if they still did, you would get it if they were still around. But anyway, on to our next book. Our next book is So Far From Sky by Judith O'Neill. Now, So Far From Sky is a powerful story of two children forced to leave their homeland in search of a new life. I've read this story. It's pretty good, but I would have to say it's not one of the best. It's the front cover shows a girl and a boy, a couple of trees and leaves and everything, and it seems to be probably in the 1900s somewhere, maybe 1960s, 50s, or even 40s, 30s. It seems they're even from World War, maybe two. But anyway, here's the blurb. Morgan and Alan McDonald don't want to leave Skye, the island they love, and immigrate to an unknown country on the other side of the world. But like many others, they have no choice. Their voyage to Australia and the new world they find there makes an exciting and moving story that brings the past vividly to life. Chosen by children as the pick of the year for the Federation of Child Book Groups, easy to read and hard to put down, the Times Education Supplement says, all of us need more of these splendid stories, experientially crafted and confidently told. It's from The Scotsman and highly commented for the 1992 Australian Human Rights Award Children's Literature. It's £4.50 in UK pounds, and in America it's £8.95, or in Canada it's £9.99. And here's a little bit from the start. If I can find the start. There is a map in this book that does have a lot of, there's a lot of chapters. It says leaving Scotland July 1852, so I'm guessing this was in the 1800s, not the 1900s. Ooh, so there's the Isle of Skye from Turkey to Porti, when there's basically a map, and there's a from Skye to Greek Knock, there's a map of Scotland, basically. And here's our first little page, because, like, this book is so long and the pages are full of words, so I don't really want to overpower the story, but anyway, here we go. Alan, do you really want to go to do this? Sorry. Alan, do you really want to go to this colony? Is the first time from Morgrove had ever put into blunt words the question she'd been waiting to ask him for weeks, yet she almost guessed the answer before he gave it. No, of course I don't, her brother's voice was demanding. But it's not a matter of whether I want to go. We've got no choice. We have to go. And do the McGoins and the Mathesons and all of us here in Tuxtlea? Morgan sighed. She knew he was right. They had to go. She was standing with Alan in the late afternoon near the top of the waterfall and looking down for the last time into Turkalashka Bay. They saw the sharp grey rock at the point, the white-figured curve of the sea, the yellow sand where they they'd search for selfish in the feminine years, and the green marshally land running back to the big house. The tiny figure of a woman, even on this very last day, Janet Matheson was still gathering seaweed. Morgan watched as the old woman bent to pick up each leverly strip from the sand and tossed it over her shoulder onto the creel of her back. "Why, she's still collecting all that seaweed, Morgan," asked Alan. He was, well, over 14 and taller than his sister. He was only a year younger. They looked sternly alike, with a dark hair and untidy hair. And the same brown eyes as their mother. Now, I'm going to leave it there, because as I said, this book is like really long and I don't really want to spoil it for you guys. But anyway, that was So Far From the Sky. And it's kind of a sad book, because it points to the fact of immigration from like different countries. Anyway, first term at El Idoila School for Stars. Holly and Killy. Will Oitbridge. Now, here's a wee bit about the sisters. We were the Macaulay sisters. We have a story to share with you about one of the most important things in the world. Friendship. So, here we go. Here's a blurb. On the first day of term at El Latoya School for Stars, twins Mary and Molly Foister met Pippi Browns, who's won a songwriting scholarship at the school. The talented trio share the same dreams of superstardom and become best friends, but will their friendship stand up against the fear muscular's plans to wreck their chances and claim fame for herself? And it says right here, love from Holly and Killy Wimberley, School for Stars. And it's in UK price, it's $4.99, but I don't know how much it would be in America. But if you go to www.rhymebooks.co.uk, you might pick a copy up here. Well, there. And there's 17 chapters, and the last chapter is A Star is Born. And the first chapter is New Beginnings. So I'm going to read the first page of New Beginnings. Holly Mary Foster could barely breathe for nervous excitement as they clutched each other on the back seat of their dad's old Bentley. As the car bounced along the enormous sweeping drive, they clumped their necks out of the window trying to catch a glimpse of their new school. The September sun streamed through the rows of poplar trees, completely blinding them. "Oh, Eddie, are we nearly there yet?" a very experienced Maya asked her dad. As her dad's driver, "We can't see a thing back here." "I know, Miss Marie," Eddie responded. "The sun is in the wrong spot and making driving a little bit tricky." "I don't think it could be much further now." "Don't worry, Eddie. Marie just hates not being in control. It's not as if we're going to be late or anything." She factored in enough extra journey time to cater for anything. Molly gently mocked her sister. Mary checked her watch and threw her sister a startled smile. "You see," Mary was extremely well organized. Molly, on the other hand, was totally the opposite. But more about the twins later. And there's a little bit more on page 2, but I'm not going to read it because I'm probably going to spoil the story. But anyway, that was our fourth book. And our fifth book which is one of my favourites. It's a really old book I got. I think it might have been from the library. I think I bought it. Yeah. Or I got it from my school. Because our school used to hand out books for, like, our prizes for, like, Christmas and everything. And I used to hate that. Like, why give us books? Why not chocolate? Like, what? Like, send me an email or, like, a little comment saying, like, either your teacher's done that when you were little or, like, when you're in primary, they've given you something like a book to read and stuff. Oh, my God. I hated my teachers for that. But, like, you couldn't just go up to say to them, like, oh, I hate this. Can I get something else? Like, I mean, that would have been disrespectful. And, like, in primary, you're supposed to be, like, nice and sweet. But, like, I'm in high school myself and... In high school, it's more harder, but, like, don't be afraid. I mean, when you hear about stuff from America schools, or American, should I say, flushies, bullies, jocks, nerds, geeks, high school's not like that. High school's filled with people, your friends, or... friends to be, even. I made friends I wouldn't even meet if I was like that. I believed in flushies and bullies and different sections for school. You wouldn't have any friends. But anyway, back to the book. This one is called, well, The Witches. And it's by Roald Dahl, and it's the world's number one storyteller. Sadly, Roald Dahl died. But if you do go on puffinbooks.com, you might get it there, or roalddahl.com to search about him. And in UK pounds, it's £6.99, which is really good. Which is a really good price. Anyway, here is the blurb. Bald as a boiled egg, whizzing, claws, pissing, the witches. Witches are really a deceit breed. They describe themselves as lovely ladies when secretly they want to squirrel and squawk all the wretched children they despise. Lucky, one boy and his grandmother know how to recognize these vile creatures. Can they get rid of them for good? 10% of awful royalties for the sale of this book are donated to the Roald Dahl charities. See inside for details. Now, as I said, sadly, Roald Dahl died. And since his book is a really good seller, well, all his books are, as it says here, 10% of offer royalties. So just say you paid $6.99, right? 10% of that would probably be £2.50 or at least £3. That would be given to Roald Dahl's charity. Anyway. Here is the first bit. A note about witches. In fairy tales, witches always wear silly black hats and black cloaks and ride on broomsticks. But this is not a fairy tale. This is about real witches. The most important thing you should know about real witches is this. Listen very carefully. Never forget what is coming next. Real witches dress in ordinary clothes and look very much like ordinary women. They live in ordinary houses and they work in ordinary jobs. That is why they are so hard to catch. A real witch hates children with a red hot sizzling hatred that is more sizzling than red hot than any hatred you could possibly imagine. A real witch spends all her time plotting to get rid of all the children in her particular territory. Her passion is to do away with them one by one. It is all she thinks about the whole day long. even if she is working as a cashier in a supermarket or typing letters for a businessman or driving around in a fancy car, and she could be doing any of those things. Her mind will always be plotting and scheming and churning and burning and whizzing and fizzing with murderous, bloodthirsty thoughts. Which children, she says to herself all day long, exactly, which children shall I choose for my next squealing? Now, that was only the first little page. And as I said before, there is a charity that supports Roald Dahl. And as I said quite a few times earlier, I think it was maybe twice or three times, he did sadly die. So if you do buy this book, at least 10% of the money you give will go to that charity. Anyway, our sixth book is by Michael McPurgo, and it's The Amazing Story of Avadopoulos Tips. Here is the blurb. And here's the blurb. The incredible tale of a deserted villager, a lifelong friendship, and one very adventurous cat. In its 1943, Lily Trucks lives on a farm in the seaside village of Slapton. And her life is scarily touched by the war, until one day when the villagers are all told to move out of their homes, lock, stock, and barrel. Soon the whole area is out of bounds as the Allied forces prepare to invade France, but Tips, Lily's adored cat, has other ideas and returns to the forbidden area. Frantic to find her, Lily decides to enter the dangerous zone to look for Tips herself. Put this book at the top of your must buy list. Books for keeps. That's what they say. A master storyteller at his best. Fun Day Times. That's what they say. And it is £5.99 in UK pounds, and in dollars it's £9.99. And this is only the recommended price for, like, as I said, for all the books I've already talked about. It's only the recommended price, so it could go up. Because, like, I mean, I haven't seen another Adolphus Tips in, like, probably a couple of years at least. And it's normally been the same price, but it might go up. Anyway, here's just a small bit from the first page. Also, there is a map in this book, and you can see where Strapton Lay is. That's where Lily's from. Anyway, here we go. First, read Grandma's letter over 10 years ago, when I was 12. It was the kind of letter you don't forget. I remember. I read it over and over to be sure I'd understood it right. Soon, everybody else at home had read it too. Well, I'm godsmacked, my father said. She's unbelievable, said my mother. Grandma rang up later that evening. Bowie. Is that you, dear? It's Grandma here. It was Grandma who had first called me Bowie. Apparently Bowie was the first word she'd ever heard me speak. My real name is Michael, but she's never called me that. You've read it, she went over. Yes, Grandma. Is it true, all of it? Of course it is, she said, with a distant echo chuckle. Blame it on the cat if you like, Bowie. But remember one thing, dear. Only dead fish swim with the flow, and I'm not a dead fish yet. Not by a long chalk. So it's true, all of it. She's really gone and did it. I felt like whooping and cheering, like jumping up and down for joy. But everybody else still looked as if they were in a state of shock. All day, aunts and uncles and cousins had been turning up, and there'd be lots of tutting and shaking of heads and mutters. What does she think she's done? And at her age? Grandpa's only been dead a few months. Barely cold in his grave. And to be fair, Grandpa had only been dead for a few months. 5 months and 2 weeks to be precise. It had rained cats and dogs all through the funeral service, so loud you could hardly hear the organ sometimes. I remember some baby began to cry and had to be taken out. I sat next to Grandma in the front pew, right beside the coffin. Grandma's hand was trembling, and when I looked up at her, she smiled and squeezed my arm to tell me she was all right, but I knew she wasn't, so I held her hand. Afterwards, we walked down the aisle together behind the coffin, holding on tightly to one another. Then we were standing under her umbrella by the graveside and watching them lower the coffin. The vicar's words whippled away by the wind before they could even be heard. I remember I tried hard to feel sad, but I couldn't. And not because I didn't love Grandpa. I did, but he'd had been ill with multiple sclerosis for 10 years or more, and that was most of my life, so I've never felt I know him that well. When I was little, he'd sit by my bed and read stories to me. Later, I did the same for him. Sometimes it was all he could do to smile. In the end, when he was really bad, Grandma had to do almost everything for him. She even had to interrupt when he was trying to say to me because I couldn't understand anymore. In the last few holidays I spent down at Slapton, I could see the shivering in his eyes. He hated being the way he was, and he hated seeing the way he was too. So when I heard he died, I was sad for Grandma, of course. They'd been married for over 40 years, but in a way I was glad it was finished for her and for him. After the burial was over, we walked back together along the lane to the pub for the wake. Grandma still clutching my hand, I didn't feel I should say something to her just in case I disturbed her thoughts, so I left her alone. And that was the first three pages of Adolphus Tips. And that's such a great story. It's kind of like So Far From Sky, but it's not about refugees. It's not about the children, like, moving, so, like, they won't get hurt and everything. This is more about war, like, Cold War. And, like, they and the villagers and everything, as you've heard, had to actually, like, pack up and everything and move. But when what happens with refugees and everything is their houses get bombed and, like, their towns get bombed and their houses get ransacked, so they have nothing to take. Anyway, on to our next book. And this is by Rachel Rareen Rushell. Dork Diaries, TV Star. Tales from a Not So Fabulous Life. I love this book. Literally, it's like one of my favourite books. There's 8 to get, plus this one, so it's 9. And I've got all 9 of them. Here is the blurb. Nikki's reality show nightmare. Lights. Camera, starring Nikki. Mackenzie! Oh no. Okay. Oh my god, Nikki Maxwell is getting her own TV show. Nikki and her friends were spotted at their school talent show, and now reality TV crew has followed her as she heads for pop stardom. That's a squeal. I'm not too good at those. But having cameras whenever she goes isn't always fun, especially when it's making things awkward with Brandon and Mackenzie. Keeps trying to steal the limelight. Is TV star one step too far for the Queen of Dorks? Basically, how this is set out is basically a diary. So, I'm going to read the first Probably... five or so pages, because this is, like, really short. Sunday, March the 1st. Oh my god! I still can hardly believe what happened to me yesterday. 3 totally awesome, completely unbelievable, too good to be true, exciting, wonderful things. Totally awesome, completely unbelievable, too good to be true, exciting, wonderful thing. Number 1. I actually went to the Valentine's Day dance. Eek. Which is another squeal. Yep, it was girls asked the guys. And at the very last moment, I finally got up the nerve to ask my crush, Brandon. Totally awesome, completely unbelievable, too good, exciting, wonderful thing. Number 2. I crowned sweetheart princess. Eek, another squeal. I didn't know how that happened, but it did. And I have my tiara to prove it. Me still wearing my dazzling tiara from last night. It's basically a picture of her. And finally, the most amazing thing ever. Eek, another squeal, but a really long one. Totally awesome, completely unbelievable, too good to be true, exciting, wonderful thing. Number 3. During the very last dance of the most perfect romantic fairy tale evening, Brandon and I... Hey, wait a minute. Is that my cell phone ringing? Yes, my phone is ringing. Hey, maybe it's Brandon. Checking my caller ID. Nope, it's not Brandon calling. Wait, oh my god, I can't believe it's... He's just the most famous TV producer in the entire world and the host of my favorite TV show, a reality TV show / talent boot camp called 15 Minutes of Fame. Eek, another squeal. Gotta answer my phone. I'm on a spring break from school this entire week, so I've got plenty of time to finish writing this. Later. Sunday the 2nd of March. I'm not going to read that one because these little days are actually pretty long. This one goes on for like 18 pages, but this is $6.99, but I don't know how much it is in America / dollars. But basically, it's this girl that has a crush on this boy called Brandon, and she's literally overpossessed, but she's kind of like me. She's kind of... I don't know. Shy, I guess. I mean, I have my fair share of people I have crushes on. And people I've dated. We all have, to be fair. Send in a comment or an email to me saying that you're kind of like Nikki. That you're sometimes really shy against people you like or people you have crushes against. And here are the 2 books that literally have touched my heart since I've read these. The last book is a book I've actually been reading from my school library. And it's a great book. But back to the one I've got. This one is by David Walliams. It's the hilarious number 1 bestseller, Gangster Granny. No. Hey, when I saw this book, I was like, what? Gangster Granny, are you stupid? I think I read the first 3 pages and I fell in love with it. Here's a blurb. Meet Ben's granny. She was very much your textbook granny. She has white hair. She has false teeth. She had used tissues tucked up her sleeve and she's an international Joe Faith. David Walliams. In this gem of a book, Williams balances high comedy with an emotional message. This is from the Daily Mail. Anyone who thinks that all grannies do is wear massive and play Scrabble will laugh out loud. This is from the Telegraph. Continues the infertil and humorous traditional that Roald Dahl forgate, consider male Australia. That's from them. And in UK pounds, it's $6.99, and in Canada, or US dollars, it's $10.99, and that's the recommended price, like all the ones I've got here, it's recommended. So, as I said, it's like Adolphus Tips. I haven't seen another copy in quite a while. since I was really little, since I got that book. And I don't know if it's, the price has changed or not, but this one definitely hasn't, because this is like a new one, kind of. Anyway, here are the first three pages that I fell in love with. If I can get to them, please. Hello, book. Thank you. Cabbagey Water is the first chapter. But Granny's so boring, said Ben. It was a cold Friday evening in November, and as usual, he was slumped in the back of his mum and dad's car. Once again, he was on his way to stay the night at his dreaded Granny's house. All old people are. Don't talk about your Granny that like that, said Dad weakly. His fat stomach pushed against the steering wheel of the family's little brown car. I hate spending time with her, protested Ben. Her TV doesn't work. All she wants to do is play Scrabble, and she stinks of cabbage. In fairness to the boy, she does stink of cabbage, agreed Mum, as she applied some last-minute lip liner. You're not helping, wife, muttered Dad. At worst, my mother has a slightly odour of boiled vegetables. Can't I come with you, pleaded Ben. I love ball. What's it, dancing, he lied. It's called ballroom dancing, corrected Dad, and you don't love it, you said, and I quote, I'd rather eat my own boogers than watch that rubbish. Now, Ben's mum and dad love ballroom dancing. Sometimes Ben thought they loved it more than they loved him. There was a TV show on Saturday evenings that Mum and Dad never missed called Strictly Stars Dancing, where celebrities would be paired with professional ballroom dancers. In fact, if there was a fire in the house and Mum could only save either a sparkly gold tap shoe once worn by Frello Forge, the shiny Tanner dancer and heartbreaker from Italy who appeared on every series of the hit TV show, or her only child. Ben thought she would probably go for the shoe. Tonight, his mum and dad were going to an arena to see Strictly Stars Dancing live on stage. I don't know why you don't give up on this pipe dream of becoming a plumber, Ben said. Think about dancing professionally, said Mum. Her lip liner scrawled across her cheek as the car bounced over a particularly bumpy speed bump. Mum had a habit of applying makeup in the car, which meant she often arrived somewhere looking like a clown. Maybe you could end up on Strictly, added Mum excitedly. Because prancing around like that is stupid, said Ben. Mum whimpered a little and reached for a tissue. You're upsetting your mother. Now just be quiet, Ben. There's a good boy, replied Dad firmly as he turned up the volume on the stereo. So those were the three pages that I fell in love with. I mean, oh, come on. We all take our grannies for people that she has white teeth and she has false teeth and she tucks tissues up her sleeve. But come on, Ben's granny is an international jewel thief. Wouldn't you like somebody like that from your family? I would. And here is our last but not least book by the author of The Whispering to Witches. I have that book. Andale, Dawn Uncovered. Now, as I said, I'm reading this book. So, here's the blurb. When Don Buckle is giving a top-secret job in PSST, Pursuit of Scheming Spies and Traitors, she has no idea if she is up to the task of tracking down the wicked spy gone bad, Maroon Meek, who is suspected for holding hostage an important member of the spying world. Taking a new identity, Don has to go undercover in the sleepy village of Charlie Bentley and piece together all the parts of the incredible riddle before Maroon Meek goes away with his hostage. Can she outwit his master criminal while at the same time keeping herself out of harm's way? Read this tremendously funny, action-packed story and meet one of the most unlikely and lovable heroes to feature in a book for a very long time. Now, I'm on chapter 3, Chapter 3 is called House in Plainwell. So I'm going to read, I think it maybe might be 4 or so pages, or 3, because this book has a lot of words, and I don't really want to spoil it for myself, because as I said, I'm reading right now. Shall I or shan't I? Don asked Klopp. She looked him in the eye, which was just a couple of stitches, and given a knitted ear for an attention squeeze. Don detected a look of weary annoyance on her donkey's face as she removed him from her suitcase for the 7th time in as many minutes. So difficult being 11, Don thought, and she sighed heavily. I'm on the cups of womanhood, you know, she told Klopp. I'm just going to stop here. I'm on the cups of womanhood. It's so difficult being 11. This girl doesn't know what's coming for her. Oh, God. We shouldn't tell her. Nope. Everybody keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. God. We'll probably kill her. Right. Anyway. His blank expression seemed to suggest that he did know exactly, but he wasn't particularly interested. Am I too old to make my favourite toy with me? Dawn asked herself. Something told her that the people at PSST would be at least impressed. But I'd like you to come, said Dawn. It would be comfortable to have a friendly face around. Instruct Dawn that Klopp did not look very friendly at the moment, but nervousless. She squashed him next to a pair of mushroom-coloured socks and closed the suitcase lid. A few minutes later, there was a knock on her bedroom door. Oh, said Dawn, who had just reopened her suitcase and was holding Klopp around his middle. She threw him quickly into her case and collapsed onto her sock collection. Come in, said Dawn shyly. Morning, Donnie, said her grandfather, tugging politely on his black beret as he shuffled into the room as he had tucked his pyjama top and into a pair of grey flannel trousers. Grump, said Dawn. She felt highly honoured. Her grandfather really made a trip upstairs. Come to wish you good luck, he said, scratching an overgrown eyebrow. It's nearly 8 o'clock, Donnie, Miss What's-Her-Name. Be here in 2 ticks. I know, said Dawn. Her stomach gave a terrible lunch. You've packed everything, I see? Said Dawn, patting her suitcase. She attempted to brave smile, but could not prevent her chin from trembling. No, none of that, said Ivan kindly. You'll be just fine. Dawn said nothing. She felt despaired. Her excitement seemed to have fizzled away, and suddenly she found that she did not want to leave. Kneeling beside her suitcase, she closed its lid and began to fumble with the straps. Here's the next page, and I'm going to stop here because, like, as I've just said, I don't really want to spoil it for me. All right, Donnie, listen up, her grandfather raised a knobbly finger. There's a few gems own knowledge that I learned off the telly yesterday. Dawn listened, particularly as his grandfather informed her that the capital of Gong, Guam, and Hatred, and Alkin was a type of wildcat. William Shakespeare wrote 38 plays and performia, spelt with a silent P, was the fear of being tickled with feathers. Mind you, don't forget none of them facts, said Dawn's grandfather extremely. You never know when they might come in useful. Okay, Gramps, said Dawn. Through her open bedroom window, Dawn heard the clink of a drain cover and the lower pump of an engine as a car pulled outside. She dashed to the window just as the clocks in the cellar began to strike the hour. The MG Magnet's soft roof had been folded down, and Dawn saw Emma Cambridge switch off the ignition and remove her sunglasses before stepping out of the car. Time to go, Donnie, said her grandfather. Dawn nodded. A lump in her throat prevented her from speaking. She put on her plimsolls, trying them carefully in a double knot and picked up her small suitcase. "You'll be all right," said her grandfather as they made their way downstairs. Be a nice holiday for you." He patted her on her shoulder. "A better week in that grotty old guest house in Gospel away." That was Dawn Undercovered. And if you go to www.bloomsbury.com, you find it there. And I actually don't know how much. Oh, right, okay, it's £10.99 in UK pounds. But I don't know how much it's in dollars. Sorry for if that's any inconvenience to any of you if you guys are from America or anything, but you might need to search all these books up, because like, and normally they do tell you if they're either from like, as I said, like Canada is normally mentioned on there, which is normally UK pounds, UK pounds, UK, sorry, US dollars, God. Yeah, so that was our book reviews. I'll just go through all the books I've read so far. Well, so far as I mean all of them. We've got Beauty and the Beast. The Worst Witch Strikes Again. So Far from the Sky. School for Stars. The Witches. Adolphus Tips. Dork Diaries TV Star. Gangster Granny. And Dawn Uncovered. And I want you to send me, Bucky Radio, rather, an email or a comment saying which book you like the most, and asking maybe where you can get it and stuff and all that. Because I would really like some of you guys to say your own thoughts on the books that I've been discussing about, because the books I like are normally in different languages, so I wouldn't really recommend them to a lot of people, because like, you might need to either listen to a type of music from the language that the book's in, or either just not read it, to be fair. But the language normally half of my books are in is either like Japanese, or normally it's Greek or German. This is the last station on the Logan Story Express train. Thank you for joining me on this book tour as I talked about from the Beauty and the Beast, the story, to a little girl that got taken into the spy world. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you like your last stop in the Logan Story Express train. Guys, just before I head off, I just want to say you can find all these books at your local library, or even if you go on all the website I've suggested. Normally it's maybe www.roaldahl.com or puffinbooks.com, or, you know, all the websites I've mentioned. I'm just going to go through them again just in case you guys didn't actually get them. Does Beauty and the Beast even have one? Wait. Beauty and the Beast, do you have one? Do you have one? Disney Experiences, it's like a little comma, ink dot. That's a website. The Worst Witch is puffinbooks.com, as I said. Probably half of them are. So Far from Sky is puffinbooks.com. School for Stars is www.orionbooks.co.uk. Roald Dahl is puffinbooks.com or roaldahl.com. And Adolphus Tips is www.hypercollins.co.uk. Any other ones? Any, nope. Dork Diaries is www.dorkdiaries.co.uk or www.simonandscratcher.co.uk. And I just want to tell everybody, I'm not sponsored by anybody. I normally get these from the local library, or I have them. David Williams is Gangster Granny is from www.worldofwilliams.com. Yep. Dawn Uncovered is from www.bloomsbury.com. So, as I just said, I'm not sponsored, so I do not get these books from any sponsors. But if you guys would like to leave a book in the comment section, or even email us saying a book that you would like me to review in my next book review, that would be really helpful to get some of your emails. Because I would really like to do some books that are actually like for you guys, that actually mean something to you. But next week I have a couple books that mean heart and soul to me, like everything to me. I'm just going to give you a wee bit of a teaser on one book. It's called Dr. Dog. See, you know how you have nursery and everything? Yeah, well, I went to that. It was called Childcare. And I got this book called Dr. Dog. And I love the book to bits. I still read it to this day. And I thought, maybe next time I can come in and bring Dr. Dog with me. So, there. That's a wee bit of a sneak peek to my Dr. Dog book. Anyway, as I was just about to say, I'm gonna just come off here so you guys just know that our stop is coming near in maybe about 5 minutes or so. You guys will be getting off. And this is goodbye from the Logan's Fund Story Express. I'm signing off.
I hope you've enjoyed the show and hope you will listen in next time.